All right, it is 7:36, and we continue our political dialogue here on KHUM, talking with all the supervisorial candidates. Today, we've got two incumbents. We've got this interview. We have got Cliff Clendenin, who is running for re-election for 2nd District Supervisor. And thanks for coming in. Good morning.
Okay, morning, Cliff. Morning, KHUM listeners.
So it's Cliff with one F versus Cliff with two Fs.
Yes, if you're Clifton like I am, you have one F and
or Clifford.
And you're yes.
That's right. It all depends on the root name there. So you are running for re-election.
Yes.
You've had 4 years under your belt now.
Three and a third.
That's right. So I guess, but before we go into your accomplishments for the year, for folks who aren't aware of who Cliff Clendenin is, other than the 2nd District Supervisor, why don't you give a little background on yourself?
Okay. Well, I was born in Scotia in 1953, attended Fortuna Schools, graduated from Fortuna High in 71, and wanted to get out of town, and so off to school at UC Davis, and 4 years later got a BS degree in botany from UC Davis, traveled a little, worked as a carpenter, and then in 1978 joined my family business, Clendenin Ciderworks, and worked a little over 30 years there, working with my folks, and now mentoring my son into the fourth generation in the family apple and cider business. And been involved in community things, helped start the Fortuna Concert Series, was the founding president of that, and then longtime Farm Bureau member and was on their land use board, and then later got involved in Fortuna's general plan update as a citizen, involved citizen. So it's kind of my snapshot.
So is the position of supervisor different or different than you thought it would be, or how has it been?
It's way more work. I knew it would be hard. I had no idea of sort of the volume. I think a friend of mine said, you know, it's going to be kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. And I think that's sort of one of the best descriptions. It's really challenging. And at the same time, it's really rewarding because you have an opportunity to work with some great people in the community and some great county staff and try to pull limited resources together to do the public's business and do the public good.
So in the time you've been there, any things that you're particularly proud of that you've gotten accomplished?
I think working with a variety of folks in the 2nd District, it's a very, very diverse district, from fishermen in Shelter Cove to ranchers out in Bridgeville to back to the landers in Soham to conservative folks and just a wide stripe of folks in Fortuna and the Eel River Valley area. So trying to serve that broader good has been an interesting challenge. And but with 4 years of declining budgets to basically keep the wheels on the county vehicle and keep essential services going has been a proud accomplishment. We've got bus service now to Southern Humboldt, sort of starting to link a little better with that. People are the squeaky wheel and talk about culverts that need work or anything. It's nice to be able to quickly link that with county folks and try to get service for that. Several things like that, but basically just keeping the ship together under 4 years of declining budgets. And nice now that we're at least level going forward. And the general plan update, keeping that process whole and moving forward in the best way possible. So that'd be the highlights.
Okay. How about frustrations? Anything that you've just been frustrated with over the past four?
It's frustrating sometimes to... I think I'm frustrated with myself when I'm not the educator that I would like to be, trying to communicate a position or a challenge. That's an ongoing art to try to be able to not so much convince someone of another position, but explain the landscape as you see it and try to communicate that. And just so many things. I'll take roads, for example. I think we're something like $120 million behind in capital improvements to roads. And if we could get those to B grade or above, a nice crowned road with no places for water intrusion, that's a fairly inexpensive road to maintain. It's kind of like, you know, human health. If you work on the front end, you know, you don't have, and then obesity is low, you don't have diabetes, for instance. So the same thing with our road system and a lot of community issues. If you can, if we could get there on the front end, you know, it'd be easier for everybody's tires and front end, and it would just be so much cheaper to maintain. But instead, we're kind of in this catch-up mode. Many of our roads are in D condition. So that's big frustration.
So speaking of frustration, I guess the general plan from as an outsider, it seems to be taking an enormous amount of time to get this thing finalized. What's the holdup on that?
Well, with a rich public process, that takes a lot. It's expensive and it takes a long time. So, and I'll just say that no public process is perfect, but we've had from the very first initial meeting, something like 10 years and or more. It's been in front of the Planning Commission, and it's just finishing a three-year run with a dozen planning commissioners that have come and gone, have taken input from the community. So that's kind of packaged now as alternative PC. We had A, B, C, and D, so now the Planning Commission alternative is packaged. There were about 1,000 individual votes. There's something like 30 votes that were close, either tied or 4-3. And so we'll be particularly reviewing those when it comes in front of the Board of Supervisors. So I'm going to predict that it won't be anything like 3 years in front of our board. But in a season or two, starting June, July, we will see that in front of our board and start having taking public comment again on these particular issues. And ultimately, it's the five of us, it's our board that will decide the final outcome of the general plan. But again, it's with a rich amount of public input and then continuing. So long process. There's new state and federal laws, things about climate change, sea level rise, things that we know about river restoration now and do's and don'ts for how we treat our creeks. And a lot of that needed to be really embedded in the general plan. And I see that the positives of this going forward is we'll have something that's compliant with current environmental laws. And I see that as actually a plus for development, because a developer will know the landscape and he'll know that, okay, our general plan dovetails with the other regulations in the world. So you know that you have a known landscape, and that's really important to a developer to know what your expectations are, so you don't get blindsided when you're halfway down the trail.
So if you are reelected, what would be your, I guess, biggest priorities to tackle getting back in the office?
Right on that same topic. See the general plan through to completion. Get the richest, most robust public process we can do. We're going to have workshops in front of our board on Monday afternoons. There'll be notice meetings with the entire board, and these will be times when we can really delve into the topics of, again, these split votes that came from the Planning Commission, and get that done and moving forward, and then move on to implementation. As in our board action yesterday on the at the Board of Supervisors, we're still kind of wrestling with the departure of Kirk Girard. How do we reform our planning department and natural resources? And one of the things that will be really key is we'll need to have a strong grant arm to be able to get the money to do the implementation measures of the general plan. And so I think working all those pieces together, looking to the funding sources that would actually make make those pieces a reality, make sure that we have good restoration efforts, fire safety in communities, all those things that we're currently working on, but to be able to really ramp that up in the new general plan, that'll be the key thing. And not spending beyond our means. We've carefully done that. We had negotiations with our bargaining units to and pulled in second tier retirement and which is a lower retirement for newer people coming in. So we're looking at fiscal sustainability as well as you know, other community and environmental sustainability. So I think all those pieces together to have you know, the best functioning government we can, sort of the lightest touch on citizens, but at the same time protecting the greater good.
Okay. So Estelle Fennell is running to unseat you. How do you differentiate yourself between her and you?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I think having a land use policy that protects our working resource lands. I'm a big supporter of the Williamson Act. We had a difficult item on the board yesterday, but I think there's still a strong feeling on our board, and particularly from me, to make sure that we do everything we can in an incentive way to help our farmers and ranchers, and with TPZ in for our timber operators. And I think those kind of incentive programs are hugely important, but we need to protect those. They're designed for ranching and farming, true ranching and farming, and they're designed for timber production. So I think we need to protect the integrity of those. And I think we really need to be looking at the greater good. We need to protect people's investment in their property, but not at the exclusion of the other legitimate aspects of government. And one of the examples I use is a group of people living across a creek. You want to make sure that there's water that's flowing down to you from your neighbor upstream. You need to be as conservation-minded as you can, and then leave some for the neighbors downstream. And then all of you collectively need to leave some for our fisheries resource. And so that's the legitimate case for planning. Mm-hmm. I think private property rights are important, but they're property's really not valuable in the absence of a good planning model, because I mean, you're concerned with your own, but so is everyone else. So the term used is the tragedy of the commons when there's not somebody kind of looking out for the greater good.
So as you're aware, I'm a trail advocate. I have a weekly trails show. I've had you on several times. Yes. Wearing your hat for the North Coast Railroad Authority. But as your hat for supervisor, do you support the concept of a regional trail system throughout Humboldt County?
Yes, and when I was on the Humboldt County, when I had the board seat on the Humboldt County Association of Governments, I led the motion to have the Humboldt County Association of Governments, which is the county and the seven cities within that, that have the HCOG group, which represents the totality of interests in the county in terms of transportation, be the regional trail manager. And my concern was that we need somebody that's overall, even if different entities, whether it's a city or a county or a tribe, operates a particular trail. It all needs to dovetail into a system. And the good work of the technical advisory group and of HCOG, our planning director, or excuse me, our public works director, Tom Mattson, Marcella Clem at the Humboldt County Association of Governments. There's definitely an interest in doing that. And our environmental service, or actually he's deputy director now for environmental services, Hank Seaman, working for the county. quite a good team there in place. And it all comes down a lot of times to funding. So you can usually get a grant for construction, but we're looking at ways to, whether it's from the community forestry initiative that we're looking at the county, looking at ways where we can find some funding stream for operation and maintenance. Because at the end of the day, that's kind of what it comes down to. But certainly for businesses recruiting, I mean, I see this as an economic driver for the county, sure, as well as, proactive for health. You'll have more people out and active, and there's just in so many ways this will be a community benefit. But I know that I've heard of a dentist who was coming to acquire a local practice, and that was one of the first things he was looking at is what are the activities, you mm-hmm. know, could he what are the educational facilities? But a lot of times it comes down what's the community infrastructure for recreation and safe communities, and I think regional trail system is key to that.
So I know it seems to be somewhat of a sticky subject, but the topic of rail banking, I know you've got your feet in both worlds with the North Coast Railroad Authority and the Board of Supervisors, but it seems that the that line has been not used for so long that it's in danger of being declared abandoned by private property owners where it's got easements.
And that's a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan of rail banking as one tool in our toolbox. If we can, we're certainly a rail authority that, has jurisdiction over 316 miles of corridor extending from Samoa all the way down into Napa County, into mm-hmm. the connection with the UP line. So operating freight rail on the lower 62 miles, but I think the most important thing is to keep this contiguous in one ownership for certainly the Eagle River Canyon. I'll probably never see any activity, hopefully some restoration activity, but certainly probably not any rail activity in any near term, perhaps never. But I think it's important to keep all this together for the next generation that might have some different technologies and different needs. But certainly the rail alongside of trail, or also called rail with trail, is being done now in down in Healdsburg and other places along the line. We have trail guidelines that permit that, and I'm also not averse to short term in like 10, 20, 30 years of even using the rail bed for trail. Mm-hmm. Should there really not be a viable rail activity? So there's a lot of options, but back to your first point of rail banking, I think it's a great tool to use, and we certainly should use it as we get closer to, because there is a time certain, I'm not exactly certain when that is, but there is a time when, as you say, that rail right away would just disappear.
Absolutely. And no one wants to see that happen. Yeah. Whether you're a trail advocate or a train advocate. Yeah. So we're definitely out of time, but I just want to give you the last moment to just say the last word. Anything you want to put out there to the constituency?
Well, I would love to have everyone's vote on June 5th or mail in your absentee ballot. And we're looking for a bright future for Humboldt County and one that will economically thrive now and we'll be happy to hand off to our children and grandchildren.
All righty. Cliff Glendenden, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Cliff.
You bet. And this conversation you will find archived very shortly at khum.com and at the Lost Coast Outpost. And a reminder that coming up at 8:30, we are going to be talking with 3rd District Supervisor, who is running for re-election, Mark Lovelace.